Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanagh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable. Thanks for joining us at the Roundtable. I'm Sarah E. Morin, and I'm here with Alice Kavanagh Scober.
Hello.
We are part of Community Education Arts, and we are here today to talk about our NICE project, specifically gender roles in our four selected books. Each year, we pick four different pieces of literature, and we analyze them in-depth throughout the year, and then we create original art based on and inspired by either specific quotes from each book or the books as a whole. This year, we have four great books that we've really enjoyed diving into and having lots of good debate about. They are Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte, Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell, Dracula by Bram Stoker, and Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. So today we're going to talk about one of our favorite topics, which is gender roles and norms.
Oh, we got so much meat on this bone.
So we're going to focus on some specific books for each of the categories that we're going to do. But I would love to briefly mention one of my favorite books, Jane Eyre. And that we do have some specific gender roles and norms that Jane and Rochester exemplify. One of my favorite quotes from Jane Eyre, because she is a feisty little thing for her time period, is when she arrives at Thornfield. She has become established in a good job as a governess, but it's very routine. And she has a beautiful quote about, "The restlessness was in my nature. It agitated me to pain sometimes. Thus my sole relief was to walk along the corridor of the third story, backwards and forwards, safe in the silence and solitude of the spot, and allow my mind's eye to dwell on whatever bright visions rose before it." And then she goes on to talk about how she's pondering her existence, and she says, "It is in vain to say human beings ought to be satisfied with tranquility. They must have action. They will make it if they cannot find it. Millions are condemned to a stiller doom than mine, and millions are in silent revolt against their lot. Nobody knows how many rebellions, besides political rebellions, ferment in the masses of life which people earth." Women are supposed to be very calm generally, but women feel just as men feel. They need exercise for their faculties and a field for their efforts as much as their brothers do. They suffer from too rigid a restraint, too absolute a stagnation, precisely as men would suffer. And it is narrow-minded in their more privileged fellow creatures to say that they ought to confine themselves to making puddings and knitting stockings, to playing on the piano and embroidering bags. It is thoughtless to condemn them or laugh at them, and if they seek to do more or learn more than custom has pronounced necessary for their sex. Go, Jane!
I know, right? Wow. I mean, what I love about that quote and that whole thought process that she has is that, you know, here she is, she's living a life that she pretty much adheres to societal conventions for women in her roles as governess and school teacher and then eventually wife and mother, although we don't get a lot about that. But she is more outspoken than the normal woman in her time period, right? And that she has, even if these are just internal thoughts, that she has these thoughts, that she has this awareness. And of course, I also love that, I mean, this is still true today, right? I mean, you know, the fact that women aren't always seen as equals to men in terms of action and thought and capabilities is still true today. And then the third thing I love about this is that, you know, in that we're sitting here in COVID-19 global pandemic, and I'm thinking, yep, Yep, I'm reading that quote. I'm hearing that quote, and I'm like, yep, yep. People need their brains. You know, their brains are still going on and on and on, and yet, you know, our actions have been kind of stymied for, you know, because of this pandemic. And right. So, you know, what are our outlets? Our outlets are things like social media, and you right. know, and you know, whatever. But I mean, so I think this quote is wonderful for so many reasons. I really, really right. do. It does show us that that Jane's gender role is really, like I said, it's twofold. She lives the life that is acceptable. She lives acceptable life, role, jobs, all that stuff for a woman of her social class and her education and all that. At the same time, she is more than that. Mm-hmm. And she is outside the norm in her thoughts and her willingness to kind of stand up for herself at times. Whereas Rochester, in my opinion, he is a wonderful, talking about his gender role. I mean, he's living a lie and willing to commit bigamy. So he's a little bit outside the norm for the male gender roles of the gentleman of the time. At least I think bigamy and living, well, maybe not living a lie, but bigamy is definitely outside the norm, I would think, for the proper English gentleman.
Yeah, Rochester's fascinating because on the one hand, you know, when he does the proposal with Jane, he's claiming that, yeah, I want you to recognize yourself as my equal. But he can also say, as we've mentioned before, things like, I think of you as the man who had a little lamb that he raised to be a daughter. And I'm like, that just doesn't ring really well in 2020.
And even when he's saying, I want you to be, you know, think of yourself as being my equal, he's literally trying to get her to marry him based on a lie that he's not already married. I mean, he's already married and he knows that, but he's not being honest with her. But mm-hmm. you know, he's like saying, but I want you to be my equal in all things. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not starting out with the greatest foundation there, dude. You know? So he's an interesting character. And I know we're not going into great depth, into Jane Eyre with gender roles and norms, but I think that, those two commentaries on Jane and on Rochester, certainly, can give people some meat to work with. As I keep saying, meat on the bone. I don't know why I'm obsessed with meat on the bone, I guess, but gives people a jumping off place to go and mm-hmm. delve deeper into that book.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Jane. One of the reasons why I really loved this book as a young adult / early adult, we'll say, is the idea that she can love deeply, mm-hmm. have a romantic relationship, but not need the romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. She is strong enough in herself
yeah.
that she can walk away from those things because of strength of self and needing to know and be who she is and yeah. stay true to herself.
And that I think is a little outside the norm for women in that time period. Especially, I don't want to say especially fictional characters, but most fictional women characters of that time period swoon a lot. And, you know, if a man says, okay, I love you, they're like, oh, you know, it's all lovey-dovey mm-hmm. stuff. So I do think that she is, and we will talk more about Jane's personality in that respect when we move on to our topic of sex and sexuality, because I think that plays a big part in how she has strength of character herself and is true to herself despite her emotional or passionate feelings. So yeah, I think she's an interesting character.
Absolutely, absolutely. But in the interest of moving on to yeah. all our great topics,
yeah.
Let's talk just briefly about Gone with the Wind. Now, I know we're going to be diving deep in our next episode, mm-hmm. which will be about some of the sexual relationships right. in Gone with the Wind. Mm-hmm. But what about some of the gender roles that we have with Scarlett and Rhett? I mean, both of them are outsiders and they flout societal norms. Would you like to speak to that a little bit?
I would just say that, yes, they both are outsiders. They don't really adhere to the norms and conventions of their genders in society. Rhett's behavior is never quite as controversial to their peers as is Scarlett's. And this is the big takeaway for this conversation, as far as I'm concerned, for Gone with the Wind, is that Rhett does things that are outrageous. He does things that are completely outside of the norm for the proper Southern gentleman. And yet he's more accepted by his peers in that Southern society than Scarlett is. And she's doing outrageous things or whatever that are outside the norm of a female in society in that social class. It is because she is a woman that it is less acceptable to move outside the boundaries of societal convention. Men can do that much more easily, still be accepted on a certain level. I mean, they may not like him, but they accept him, okay? Mm-hmm. Because men have more leeway with breaking the rules. And I would submit to our audience and our own selves that that is still true today. A strong, independent woman is called bad names. A strong, independent man is just a strong, independent man, you know? And especially, if I don't want to talk politics because that's a bad idea. But if you look at, you know, the kinds of people who are in the news as either celebrities or as politicians or, you know, whoever's making news, you can track that. You can track that when a woman speaks out with strength and independence, she gets a lot of name calling. If a man does that, it's like, oh, he's so great. He's just this great, wonderful, strong, decisive man. And, you know, that's a problem in any society that it has a patriarchal, you know, trend or cultural bias, I guess I should say. And I think it is very interesting that in this book, Gone with the Wind, that is so clearly in the book, that bias. Even with these two characters who both, on equal measure, are flouting societal conventions for their genders. I think it's interesting. So take that, audience, and run with it.
No, that's fascinating. I remember reading articles, you know, modern day business articles written about that exact thing about, you know, women in leadership in business, and that the same traits, if all you did was switch the picture, men or women, they would describe them differently.
So differently. And and that is to me, it's something that both makes me very angry and very sad. Because I think about my children, my children's children, and generations forward. I'm like, how is that going to change for them in their lives? And can we change that? Can we ever get people to see, all people to see, that the difference between males and females in power or authority or leadership should not have anything to do with whether or not they're male or female. It has to do with, are they doing a good job in that role, in that job, career, whatever. And to not see the gender is similar to saying, you know, it's a bias that we need to get rid of. I don't know how else to say that. I really, I feel so strongly about that. Don't get me started.
See, this really, Alice, makes me want to write that book I keep playing at. I want to write, you know, Scarlett O'Hara, CEO.
You should. Yes, you should. Because, I mean, a lot of women today would admire a lot of the things that Scarlett did. Not some of the ways she's mean to people in nasty and racist ways sometimes and all that, but that she ran a businesses and that she did not want to just keep having children, you know, and that, because that took her away from her businesses. And sure, we want to believe that women should be able to do both, be in business and raise a family. Well, you know, in reality, that's very hard to do because our society still thinks that women are the ones who should stay home with the children. And, you know, even women in business are sometimes, you know, treated a little rudely if they choose to have children and leave the children with, you know, preschool or nannies or whatever and still work. And then it's like, oh, well, you're not really a mother. Well, yes, they're a mother, but they're also a business person, right? So Scarlett walks that fine line between what's acceptable and what's not even today. So I think your book would be very popular. I would hope I would hope you would write it that she could become a little more self-aware and be a little more anti-racist and an ally and not, you know, I don't know how you would redo those characters that she, oh man, I mean, you have a challenge there. I say, go for it.
Right. And you know what, that actually brings up the flip norm there. You're talking about, you know, how women who have jobs, leave the kids at home with somebody else, are denigrated. The stay-at-home dads are also denigrated today.
Exactly. And, but I will say that sometimes they get a more favorable It's like, oh, he's so great. He's a stay-at-home dad. He's sacrificed his career. He's sacrificed his place in normal society to raise children. I mean, it's like women have been doing that for centuries. You know what? Sure. You know, sure. Where's our? You know what I mean? So I mean, there is kind of still a bias there. But
sure,
you're right.
No,
but
there
you're
absolutely
right.
is. Yeah. But there also, I think, is, and I was reading an article about this last night too, that men who are out, fathers who are out with their children in public, who get that comment from people, oh, isn't it nice for you to give mom a day off? And isn't it nice for you to babysit
your own child? Oh my God.
And, you know, fathers being like, I feel like, you know, they don't think I can be a good parent.
Right, exactly.
And bringing this back to Gone with the Wind, Rhett is far a better parent than Scarlett.
Yeah, even to children that aren't his, you know. He is so much nicer to her other two children, Ella and Wade, than Scarlett is. She's very hard on them and very, I think in a previous episode you said she was very distant, you know, as a mother. And yet her children adore her. It's very clear in the book that they're frightened of her. But they love her, and that's such a classic, you know, abusive parent child you know, dynamic, that I think it's an overlooked thing that Margaret Mitchell put in her book. It doesn't really come across in the movie as much, but in the book it's very clear that Margaret Mitchell made a choice to have Scarlett as that kind of mother. It makes me think that Margaret Mitchell either experienced some of that herself. Or knew people who experienced relationships with parents like that, which would not be unusual back in the days of her childhood in the early 1900s. She would have definitely probably experienced distant parenting, but it's typically the father, you know, back in the day where fathers were more distant and silent and everything. But for her to have Scarlett be that kind of a mother, very interesting. And like I said, not something that people pay a lot of attention to, but I find it fascinating that it's in the book.
I do too.
And I think speaks volume to Rhett's character that he is, she wrote him as the kinder, more involved parent, and step parent, you know.
Yeah.
He's outside the norms of that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Exactly. So, and she's outside the norms of typical motherhood. The mother's supposed to be the nurturing, loving, caring. And so they, Margaret Mitchell created these characters who flipped those roles in terms of the children in their lives. And it's just fascinating. These are such complex characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Margaret Mitchell is laying out a very long argument throughout the book that not all women should have to be mothers.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And that choice, when Scarlett tells Rhett, I don't want to have any more children, you know what I mean. I mean, that's, we'll talk about that when we get to the sex and sexuality, but she's very clear, you know, she does not want to be tied down, as it were, by motherhood any more than she already has been. She feels like she had one baby with each husband. She's done her duty by her husbands. She's done, you know. The child thing is over. Now it's time for her to he needs to let her get back to running her businesses, you know, and that's a choice that is so outside the norm for her time period as a woman. And yet we can see parallels into today. Join us next time when we continue discussing gender roles and norms in our four nice selections this year: Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Dracula, and Little Women.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.